Three. Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively having a great week. I mean, this is so much fun. I think the Ravens should go to the AFC Championship game and host it every single year, every single week, so we can have better guests on. It's been fun this week. It gives me a chance to open my Rolodex after being treated and being blackballed by the National Football League and not being able to go to the Super Bowl to sort of have Radio Row ahead of time, because we're doing Crab Cake Row and we're doing that the week of the Cup of Soup or Bowl. It'll start on February 5th. The 5th, we will be at Fadley's downtown. On the 6th, on Tuesday, we'll be at Costas in Dundalk. On Wednesday, we're going to be at this guy's favorite place, Coco's Pub in Lauraville. Then on Thursday, to State Fair in Catonsville. And then on Friday, back up to Pappas in Cockies. But we're hoping that the Ravens, that it's a big purple pep rally. We're going live old school radio from 9 until 5. And Marvin Lewis knows that, Marvin, when it's live on the radio, you never know what Nasty Nestor is going to say, do you? Huh?
No. And I remember, when you were doing the whole deal. You were everything. You were the talent, the engineer, sound production,
You mean
you're
this morning?
everything.
You mean like just like today?
It was today again, so it's like Back to Your Future.
It really is. It feels like being a solo artist again. It feels like I played a guitar and sang songs and then decided to have a band. And now I've just decided, no. This is way better to just do this way. But dude, I love you. I miss you. First things first. I mean, Lamar, you know, I had Joe Flacco on. I've had Brian. We talked 35. I had Brandon Stokely on today. I'm chasing people. There's all of this, but we've never played an AFC Championship game here. And I know you were chasing that in Cincinnati for 2 decades. We've been chasing that here since 1971. We finally have. That's weird, right? That there's never been. We've always been good, but there's something different about the expectation when you're hosting at home, and you know that.
Oh yeah, there's no question about the having the opportunity to play home playoff games, and obviously the championship game, which leads obviously to going to play the Super Bowl and a chance to be world champion. So it's quite a feat. I saw many of the highlights of the game. I really didn't see the game being over here in Hawaii, and I was working and busy and but quite a game from what I saw.
Well, I know you do a Polynesian Bowl, and all of my Las Vegas moles, because I have a few, because the Ravens might be going out there next week. Your relationship with Antonio Pierce and you working with AP and the Raiders and everybody in that locker room coming to his defense to keep his job, and your background at Arizona State. And I had to Google him a couple weeks ago because everybody, your name came up, and you and I are in touch, and I text with you all the time. We don't see each other much unless we do this, quite frankly. We don't visit a whole lot, but we text a lot. And I had to like Google up, and I'm like, oh yeah, Marvin was at Washington, Dan Snyder and the ball coach and then the Antonio Pierce and the Giants. Give me the first day you met him, because you and I used to get together, full disclosure, you and me and Schwartzy, we'd be over at the Bertucci's at the late great Owings Mills Mall, and you'd have the crayons out drawing defense. But you love the draft, and back in the days of Peter Boulware and drafting players and your time in Cincinnati and all of that, but you identified players you loved when you were young as a coach, and guys that get in your space, including me, even crazy media people, you keep people, dude. You collect people, and people collect you.
Yeah, Antonio was in his second year. He had made the squad the year before under Coach Schottenheimer as an undrafted free agent, and he got to play a lot. He played the nickel backer spot, and when I took the job there with the Washington squad, whatever they're called, I was impressed with watching the tape and what he had done the year before as a rookie. So I had a plan for him. And unfortunately, he had a high ankle sprain throughout training camp and didn't get to play in the preseason. And so he was upset. His wife was upset at the time. His wife at the time was upset. And she actually came and grabbed me after one of the games and said, "Hey, he's been a bear at home. He's upset. He's very worried. He's not going to make the squad. Is he going to be okay?" And I said, "Yes, he's okay. Time to relax. He's going to be fine." He was so smart. He was the leader. As a young player, we had Jeremiah Trotter in that room, Jesse Armstead, LeVar Arrington, and AP was the leader. He was the glue, and he kept things going. And obviously, he played that year 02 and 03, and then his career took off from there. And then I got to reunite with him again at Arizona State in 2019. So, He's just been a wonderful person, has a wonderful family. I've enjoyed just spending the time coaching alongside him. And he literally, a couple hours before they made the change there in Las Vegas, telephoned me and said, "Hey, I think this may happen. I think I may end up being the interim head coach. When can you get here?" And I said, you know, I was still working with ASU, and then I had my hip replaced Monday after Thanksgiving after the last ASU game. And but they sent me a login so I could log into their video system every day, watch practice. I made a folder. They made a folder on the system for me. I could put cut-ups in there, send notes to him and the coaches. And I just tried to help out, do what I could do.
Well, I've known you a long time, and I'm thinking back to this 96, 97, 98, when I got to know you. You came in from Pittsburgh, and Phil Savage and Ozzie running the draft at that time, and, you know, you were trying to figure out every Kim Herring and Jamie Sharper and Peter Boulware and guys that we didn't get, guys from the Cowboys we thought we signed and we didn't sign, as I remember it. But, you know, the things that happened that didn't happen, your recruitment of Rod Woodson and Goose came in, and all of these players, but you always love smart guys, and you always love guys that had a different kind of intellect. There were a couple guys you're like, this guy could be a coach. This guy thinks like a coach thinks. And you always love that in young football players. It's so important that they see the game, that you could relate it in that way, in your teaching way. But when you identify a young guy like that, and 20 years later, he's calling you as Pop Pop and says, come in, you know, I need you to be the spiritual, you know, backbone for, I've taken on this job. Oh my God, I need help. It's like calling the grandparents, which I know you're a very, very proud grandparent. Where are you in all of this? I mean, it feels like some days I see you out in Scottsdale and it feels like time's forgotten you. Then you move to college and then you're the Sage guy. And then they have all these jobs and you don't get a call. And then there are obvious Rooney Rule, I don't know what to call it. I found my tape of Johnny Cochran from 25 years ago talking about the Rooney Rule at the Super Bowl in San Diego in 2003. And I don't know that it's, I mean, we could talk at length about what you've gone through as a coach, but to feel relevant again and to feel like, man, I can contribute here again. And my guy got a job, somebody I believed in. I know that makes you proud as punch.
It really has. It really was to the last half of the NFL season. It was a lot of fun. Being involved with the coaches, the players there, you know, and I was the background, you know, I was like one of those speak when spoken to type situations, you know, and that's all I wanted to be. And, you know, I sat along the back wall in the staff meetings and, you know, I was there. And then, you know, the first week I actually got there, Coach Coughlin, Tom Coughlin came in. Adam Gase was in and out quite a bit. Adam Gase had a relationship with Bo Hardaway, who he had made OC. And so it was really good that, and this showed Antonio's spirit and his ability to realize that, you know, this is a big opportunity. I'm ready for it, but you know what? Having somebody else reinforce some of my thoughts is not bad. And that's what he did. So you got to respect that. And then the fact that myself, Coach Coughlin, Adam would all, boom, get on a plane and be there like that was great.
Support team out there with the Las Vegas. I almost called it Oakland. I almost made that. I'm not going to do that. I know they play in Vegas. Speaking of Vegas, Marvin, they're going to play a football game out there a couple weeks from now. Lamar Jackson, and since you've been out of the league, you don't have to scheme these things up to try to figure this out.
He put me out.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, you know, several people, right? That style of football, and I asked Brian this, and maybe and not flippant, but if I deliver you the Ravens head coaching job and John's out and you're in, it's 2018, and you get delivered a player like that, and knowing what to do with it or not what to do with it or what you'd have to do, the investment of everything else, what this organization's done in 5 or 6 years to take a player that, quite frankly, nobody wanted this time last year. Nobody was ready to rip up their deal and give Lamar Jackson the keys at 250. Nobody was willing to do that. He was out on the market. There were other things in the draft and all that, but if it's a player you want, boy, he has a chip on his shoulder, and the organization can stand proud after what they've done this year, keeping him healthy. But everything they've done here over the last year, from turmoil in the contract to where they are, to having this system and actually have it work this year the way they dreamed of it back when you were still coaching the Bengals. It took a little time and some injuries and some hardship, but they've made this thing work in a way that 31 other teams didn't sign up for Lamar in the first round that night.
No, they didn't. And, you know, to Baltimore's credit, to Ozzie's credit, and Eric, they moved up to get him just because they figured they would need a quarterback for the future. And, you know, literally, we were coaching against him Lamar's first start. And, you know, we didn't know he was going to start until Friday afternoon. And literally the first third down of the game, some of the things we had planned, we had to throw out the window because it was a different ball game. And and I really have been so, what's the word I want to say, excited for what he has done as a player. And watching him, we spent a lot of time with Lamar before the draft, both in Indianapolis, at Louisville, and in Cincinnati. And what he has done as a young man, and they came out to Arizona 2 years ago in the preseason, and I got to go watch practice. They were over. They practiced at ASU, and he came over and, you know, gave me a big hug. And, you know, you forget how big he is, too. That was my first impression that day. I forgot about how tall, you know, his length. And, you know, what he's done, and as a player, what he's, you know, going through the whole contract thing. I think, you know, he's always been in competition with Deshaun Watson, you know, all the way through his career, which has been kind of incredible also that they end up in the same division again after playing against each other in the ACC.
Marvin Lewis is our guest. He has been doing Polynesian Bowl. So if you're watching out on the web, those are real palm trees. It's I got about 8 inches of snow here. It's been about 10 degrees, Marv. You watched the playoff game with the Ravens. Listen, I don't need to preach to you about race and the game and the sport, who owns it, and who controls it, and where we are. And I've now been blackballed, and I'm only Latin. In the case of Lamar, and not just race, but style, and the thought that we're going to have a running quarterback injured last year, injured the year before. You know about injured quarterbacks in January. Joe Burrow's injured in Cincinnati now, which opens the gates for a lot of things. But keeping him healthy and then believing in this, seeing this thing through, and this whole, can he be a pocket passer? Can he throw the ball? Can he be an accurate passer? All of those things. He's dispelled every single thing except winning these two football games. These are the last two things, and as you know, the hardest thing in the world to do. But for him to change the game, and John's talk revolution and all that, there were a lot of people just thought you couldn't win with this kind of quarterback, no matter his race, no matter his size, Cam Newton, whatever, they'll just get beaten up too much to be able to play in week 19 and week 20.
There's no question about that. And you got to credit, I think, first off, John, and, you know, coming from him and him constructing the offense, getting the offense constructed to utilize and really accentuate the skills of Lamar. And then from Greg to now Todd, the coordinators and so forth, James Urban, who was with him as a young, is it when he was a rookie as a quarterback coach in the quarterback room, they've really built everything around him. And it's been really, really cool to see and watch his growth. And then Todd comes in this year. And again, they pick things up, you know, early in his career, they had the tight ends on the inside and they worked. This year, they signed Odell. So they give him those inside threats and then the opportunity for him to stretch the field downfield for the long balls. So they've really done a great job of personneling around him, always being able to feature the run, but he becomes the 11th guy. And when he's carrying the ball, now it's all even on defense.
Well, I mean, for you being thought of as the defensive-minded guy to take an offensive guy and who has skills – there are things he can do that you could never think about doing with Carson Palmer or John Elway or anyone, right? Like things you can do offensively, but then also the things he can do to you defensively that you learned from, to your point, like first game, first third down, oh my God, we got a different kind of thing that's going to happen here. Apples and oranges, however you would have it, but seeing the game differently that no one ever thought this could be successful enough to have to worry about it other than gadgetry or gimmickry or whatever, that at some point the forward pass would have to be part of this, that it really wasn't in 18 and 19, and they were trying to make it part of that. But then there comes all the weapons and everything that has to happen around a quarterback to make this very, very unique thing effective.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is they've continued to build, and you know what? They stayed in the lane. They, you know, this is what it's going to be. This is how we're going to win. This is how we're going to win, and we're going to protect him as best we can. We want him to protect himself as best he can. So it's kind of a twofold thing.
Getting a guy like that, who is a horse unsaddled, to sit back in the pocket and pat the football, and then to move east-west instead of north-south with the football when he has the ability. The sticks are there. He knows he can get the sticks. No. He's going to wait for Zay Flowers to break. Boy, there's a lot of things we've seen him physically do this year, really the last 8 or 10 weeks, that I don't know that we thought he could do it, but hadn't been coached to do it, but never thought he could have success doing it, because it was just so easy to take off and get the sticks, right? Like, when he had that ability to beat you on third down and 18 – we didn't see this coming, and they have forced this issue, and it's made him that much more dangerous, because he does throw the ball a lot better than he was ever given credit for.
Yeah, he really does. And, you know, he showed that in his workout coming out. You know, he had thrown the ball well at Louisville, and, you know, but it gets to be a different thing. Your windows are all tighter in the National Football League. And so that changes a little bit, but he's excelled at it. They've done a great job of winning, and he's embraced it. And the thing you said earlier in the conversation, he plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Well, so does Patrick Mahomes, though, right? I mean, doesn't matter how many times you win. Joe Flacco had won, but he had a chip. I mean, that's part of all of this at this level. And I think that's what makes it such a heavyweight fight this week, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, there's a certain attitude for a guy to be gifted and good. You mentioned, you know, Carson Palmer. You mentioned an Elway. And those guys all had that it factor and the ability to take it to a new level and get their teammates to respond.
You happy? How are things? How's your hip? How you doing? I mean, you're
good.
Back in
doing
the league,
good.
Sort of, kind of. You don't have a job with the Raiders. You're going to make that clear, right, at this moment, right?
I don't currently have a job with the Raiders. I'm just on vacation. So, but no, eventually something will likely work out. But whatever he needs me to do, it's been great to help him and him, you know, being a kind of a sounding board for him to bounce things off of.
What'd you learn from all these kids at Tempe, man? You're running around with all these young people here, right?
I tell you what, this last week, though, being in Honolulu with these high school kids that are just entering college, now that was a new level. Now, there was about a handful of them you would take right to the National Football League tomorrow. That's how gifted they were. So that was a lot of fun, because the Polynesian Bowl is high school kids who are just entering college. A lot of them have already started school in January, and they got permission from the universities to come play in the All-Star game. And it supports the Polynesian Hall of Fame, which was pretty incredible, where they were inducting Doma Taupeko, who spent a little time in Baltimore there at the end.
Makes a nice sandwich out in Beverly Hills, from what I understand as well.
Yes. And Domata was one of the inductees. He also coached the D-line on my squad. And it's really great. The coaches are all basically from the islands, either Polynesian and been doing it for a while, or Southern California, and come in to coach the game. And it was fabulous. It's 100, approximately 100, probably of the top 30% of the top 150 guys in the country.
You know, people see Tua Tagovailoa or his brother from Hawaii. They come play here. We've had all sorts of Polynesian players back to Ed Mulitalo. And name any of the guys from the islands, Maki Kimiatu, a bunch of these guys. Yeah. I spent time in Oahu a number of years ago, and now over in Maui a couple of times. And I had never – nobody ever told me how nice Hawaii was till I swear to God, I turned down the Pro Bowl when I was at Sporting News Radio to go to our parade back in 01. I remember you and I together on the bus with Marcus that day. Now I see him coaching with you over there. But nobody told me, first off, how beautiful Hawaii was and how – like, literally, I was spending my time in Jamaica, in the Caribbean, whatever, West Coast, Florida. Hawaii's great. But the football culture there, and even just driving around Little Maui, you see football. Football is absolutely the king in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And when you go over there, it's beautiful, but they love football. Love football. It's part of the
Yeah.
earth there.
The Polynesian community loves football, and I mean, they really is. It's special to them. And Marcus actually coached in the Hula Bowl with
That's right.
Brian Billy and
That's
Mike
right.
Smith, which is in Orlando now.
So he's not with you.
No, he's here on vacation, but he was in Orlando with Brian. He coached the tight ends for Brian's
See, I
squad.
was stupid enough to see him with Brian at the Hula Bowl and thought, oh, they're all in Hawaii. Brian's in Hawaii. Then I'm like, they're in Orlando. They don't have hulas in Orlando. They have hulas in Hawaii.
Yeah, Aloha Stadium is condemned, so there's a plan to eventually gotta knock it down and rebuild it. And so they moved the Hula Bowl to Orlando 2 years ago.
I had
And
no idea Aloha Stadium was so close to where Pearl Harbor is, you know, on Oahu. It's like right. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I
right
got the
there.
lay of the land when I went in, and I felt like such a creep. And the Pro Bowl sucks. I mean, not for you guys to get to wear the lays when you go and you're the coach and like all that,
Well,
but
Pro
like
Bowl's over now. Now it's a skills competition, so
Team
it's not what
Ray,
it
Team
was.
Ray Ray, Ray Lewis, right? Team Peyton, right?
Yeah. Oh, is Ray one of the honorary
I
coaches or
guess.
whatever
I
down
don't
here?
know. You know what? That Super Bowl 35 team, if Shannon's not doing it, you know, we're honoring Goose and he's gone, or you're doing it, or Brian's it, Trent Dilfer. That team, Ray, I mean, that Rob Woodson, all of you show up somewhere because it was just special. 23 years ago, by the way, this Sunday, we can go, first time we've ever had the AFC Championship, we can go to the Super Bowl. It is the 23-year anniversary of the 28th of January of Super Bowl 35. So there have at it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Special time.
Yeah, I know. I love you. Go back to the pool. I love you, Marv.
All right,
Good
get your
luck.
cocos. Go ahead.
Listen, I've worn Bengals stuff for you. I've worn Arizona. I didn't wear any of that Washington burgundy gold. But listen. You get a gig with the Raiders because of JT the Brick and because of your love for Antonio Pierce and because you're sort of grandpa pa now to the organization and you can win a Super Bowl again. I'll wear some Raiders stuff for you, okay? All right. So
Right. Everybody always wanted to be a Raider. You know that.
come on, I'm the original
It's in our
rebel. You know
blood.
that, right? You know, I'm the
It's in our
original
blood.
rebel.
That's
Right,
right.
absolutely. You know that. You know that. And I, as you know, I have a commitment to excellence. You know that. So, Marvin, I love you. Take care of yourself. All right.
Right, Ness. Good to
Hi to
talk to you.
Peggy and all the
Take care.
grandkids, the daughter, everybody.
All
You know,
right.
get out there and enjoy
Okay.
yourself.
All
Enjoy
right.
your
See you.
life. You suffered in this league long enough. Enjoy your life, Marvin Lewis.
That's
I
right.
love Marvin. Joe Flacco's been here this week. Brian Billick's been here
See
this
ya.
week. Kim here. See you later, Marv. Back to the pool. He's coaching a Polynesian Bowl. My God, the sacrifices Marvin Lewis makes to come on the program. I text him. He's like, I'm at the pool. I'll be there in a minute. We are doing the first annual. A cup of soup or bowl. We're doing Crab Cake Row, and we're doing it at five different locations. On Monday, February 5th, we're going to kick it off at Fadley's. We're going to be live from 9 till 5 all day long, old school live radio, live webcast, celebrating 100. It's a noble goal of mine. I've only got like 35 right now. So if you got one, Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. 100 charities in the area, all of it coming together for the Maryland Food Bank. So a cup of soup or bowl. You come, we give you a cup of soup or bowl, Maryland crab, cream of crab. All you need to do is bring something nice for the Maryland Food Bank and donate and give during the coldest week of the year. It's a week before Valentine's Day. I've covered 27 Super Bowls. I've been on 27 radio rows. This is the first time we're doing our crab cake row and a cup of Super Bowl for everyone. Brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends. I got some Raven scratch offs to give away. I have some O Snaps, gingerbread. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation, and Jiffy Lube, MultiCare, bringing it together. All the information at Baltimore Positive. If you have a charity, hit me quick so I can get them in. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com.